Hey friends, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich Birch. Happy Thursday. So glad you've tuned in. Today we've got Todd Adkins on the show, and he's talking all about leadership development pathways and pipelines for your church. You know, and I know, that training volunteers and leaders is super, super important. But do you ever feel like you just are not sure where to start? Well, today's podcast is going to help you with that. Todd is the leader over at Ministry Grid, and this is an incredible tool that you're going to want to hear about. We talk about it just a little bit at the end. It's actually funny because Todd is kind of reticent to talk about it. He doesn't really want to sell on the podcast, but which is great. And what it is, though, is a library of over 3,000 training videos, more than just a pile of videos from great leaders, because it is. Each one of the videos is led by an experienced ministry leader. What they've done is they've organized them into curated pathways to train every ministry area in your church. It really is incredible. You can customize each of these trainings with your own videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. Now listen, this is what I want you to do. We're coming to the end of this year. Now is the time for you to add Ministry Grid for this next whole year. All you need to do is get unlimited access to Ministry Grid for $597. Just go over to ministrygrid.com. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Let's enjoy the podcast. Here we go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Happy Thursday. So glad that you decided to tune in. Listen, I know you've got a lot going on in your world, and we're hoping that today is both fun and informative. We got Todd Adkins with us from Lifeway Leadership. It's going to be good.
I tried to do a what, but it didn't come out. It's good. Raining here in Nashville.
No, that's great.
Todd's that very subdued.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love so much love what Todd's up to. Love what Lifeway Leadership's up to. I appreciate you being on the show today, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
No, it's good stuff. Why don't you, for the two people that are listening and that don't know Lifeway, or more specifically Lifeway Leadership, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Okay. Lifeway. So Lifeway, some people would know in the South, especially they would know the brick and mortar stores. There's about 200 retail Christian bookstores, what usually used to be Christian bookstores. Mm-hmm. And now you've got, but that's just like a drop in the bucket as to what Lifeway is. So Beth Moore, Priscilla, you know, those people have events almost every weekend in stadiums, and there's Fuge camps and student life camps. There's so much to Lifeway. And about 6 years ago, I came from McLean Bible to Lifeway to start the leadership division.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, the thing I love about your heart, you've been on the podcast in the past, but I mean, just getting a chance to interact with you and your whole team at Lifeway Leadership, is just your heart for local churches and wanting to support local churches and you know, do whatever you can to, you know, to make them thrive. And so I'm glad that you're here on the show today. What I thought we'd talk about, because you sit in a unique spot, you know, having come out of a local church, you obviously have a heartbeat for that, but also you serve a lot of local churches. What are you seeing, you know, in kind of the leadership development side of things in local churches? We all know that, you know, once your church gets up over, over 50 people, you know, you better be thinking about how you're developing leaders. But what are you seeing that's kind of working that you're, you know, that you, from your vantage point?
Well, let's talk about what's not working first.
Great.
Because I think it's easier to go there. I mean, you know, as a church grows, it doesn't drift toward simplicity, it drifts toward complexity. And so whether you've got a legacy church or, you know, the latest, greatest, church plant that is 5 years old. This is a perfect example. Actually, we had Pipeline last week, and I'm in a coaching session with about 10 or so churches, but two of the churches sitting up front, one was less than 5 years old, one was 130 years old, and they both had 4,000 people on Sunday.
Wow.
They both struggle with the same thing, and that is complexity at the structure and systems level. One, because they grew so fast, they just kept throwing, you know, money at problems or people at problems, or they were just staying one step ahead of the reaper, just trying to keep up with the growth. On the other hand, you had the traditional church who'd been growing for 130 years. They'd had seasons of growth and seasons of decline, and they just find themselves in kind of a rut. Mm-hmm. But in both cases, complexity was primarily the issue. Because what happens is, especially in our strategy and structure and systems, each ministry area has its own silo. And so volunteers and leaders serve on average 2.2 times in your church. And so when they serve in different silos, they're faced with lots of frustration, lots of confusion, because everybody has their own way of doing things. Everybody has their own application. Everybody has their own onboarding process. Everybody has their own role description, if they have one. And so it's just massively confusing. So even from a pipeline perspective, as we've gone out and done that now for 4 years, I think, and some, you know, really, really deep down over a 6 month period of time, almost every time we deal with structure problems and strategy problems, and people think they're done. But when they get to the hard part, the systems part, they start to fall short, because you start to mess with everybody's day-to-day ministry. And that's when the torches and pitchforks come
out. Absolutely. You get the, like, don't touch my application, and don't, you know, it's fine to, you know, improve other people's things, but not my thing. You know, when you guys are in those conversations and you're kind of wrestling through, are there, you know, low hanging fruit to try to help with alignment and help with kind of cutting back of the complexity that you find yourself over and over saying to people, like, hey, let's address this area. Let's kind of tackle this. This is something we could, you know, work on quickly.
Well, I mean, you know, the first place that we start is with scripture and then stories. So I think scripture and story are super powerful to bring on the pain that is necessary for it. You have to bring up so much pain that you want to change. And after that, getting everybody on the same strategy it's not as hard. But then it really is when you start to mess with the language in people's areas, because in this area, it's called a coordinator. In this area, it's called a coach. Or they have both coaches and coordinators in both areas, except they have them flip-flopped, or they define them differently. And so getting people on the same page is really difficult on the language and then the structure. Because there's both formal and informal structure at church. Because we think structure, and they'll be like, oh, here's the org chart that we did 3 years ago. And it's a lot. It's more complex than that.
Interesting. So when it comes down to, you know, why don't we look at maybe a couple different sizes, or maybe there's some commonality that's happening among them, but a church of, say, somewhere in the 200 to 500 range, what is a church like that? What are some best practices that church is living out from a leadership development point of view, that are, you know, living out kind of how they're helping people take steps, you know, through that pipeline? What are you seeing at a church of that size?
Well, churches of that size are in a difficult situation because they're big enough where people expect more professionalism, and they expect more professionalism, or what would be, you know, under the banner of excellence. Mm-hmm. And so they're feeling the pressure that they should act like they're a bigger church. Mm-hmm. You know, they should have their stuff together. Meanwhile, some of the things that got them to this point are feeling the strain. And they're not scalable. Some of those people haven't grown in their leadership capability. So it's really stopping to stabilize what's there so that you can scale up. And a lot of what happens when somebody goes through, you know, a pipeline coaching is they figure out, uh-oh, I have to add another layer of leadership. I have the staff that's going all the way down to the volunteer level to recruit and develop volunteers and recruit and develop leaders. And they haven't democratized development. They haven't given that to the volunteer and helped the volunteer understand, no, it's your job actually to recruit and develop volunteers. I'm going to give you the tools to do that. But they've never been asked to do that. And they've never understood that the fruit of a volunteer is another volunteer. The fruit of a leader is another leader. And so I think those are the real wake up moments for people, is to say, okay, what are we doing that is costing us effectiveness in the core ministries of our church? Because everything was started at one time with a reason, but does it align with the current vision and values? Right. And at the end of the day, it's a culture issue. At the end of the day, yes, culture eats strategy for breakfast, but it gets its appetite from purpose. So is the purpose of the church and is the purpose of the ministries that you have in your church, are they all pulling and rowing in the same direction? And if not, you have to see what you need to starve or kill.
What churches that are, so there's a church that I'm, a friend of mine is planted 2 years ago, it'll be coming up on 2 years in Sarasota, Florida. And they're at that kind of 250 people on a Sunday morning attendance point of view. You know, they're growing, heading in the right direction, which is wonderful. And it's been interesting watching them. Most of my experience has been in larger churches. It's been interesting watching them. And part of what I love is as he's wrestling with 2019, this kind of coming year, what he's been articulating to his people and to his leaders is, you know, we need everyone to take kind of one step up in the leadership, you know, level. Instead of just asking you to lead people, we now need to ask you to lead leaders. And he's kind of en masse at this time of year, really working with his leaders around saying, hey, how do we restructure everything so that you have kind of another layer of people between you and, you know, the people that we're, you know, serving with, which I'm like, that's a pretty smart way to do that. And it's systematically kind of walking through and saying, how do we raise up more leaders to kind of get ahead of the curve? When you see churches, again, maybe that size, how are they articulating that? You know, you talk about the pain that they need to experience needs to be greater. The pain of staying the same needs to be greater than the pain of change. How are people agitating that pain? How are they articulating that in a way that, you know, ultimately moves people to say, oh, I do need to do something different, which can be a huge deal or is a huge deal ever for everyone to do something different.
But it really is, you know, it really is stopping some of the bleeding, and bleeding in some cases is really the opportunity cost of doing too many ministries, because everything you do costs you stage time. Everything you do costs the volunteers time, you know, all those things. And we're what I hear you saying is, yeah, but this guy's actually calling these people to take a step up.
Yep.
Well, in order to take a step up, first of all, for most, it's a heart issue,
yeah,
because we've allowed them to believe that baptism is the finish line instead of the starting line. So, and that's how we've treated it in most of our churches. From the church growth movement 40 years ago to this point, we moved from maps to menus. We moved from, I have a scope and sequence that I want to take you through of basic discipleship and basic development that usually happened in our churches on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And we no longer have those people for those times. Mm-hmm. And we also put in the menu mentality. Now, in part because it was a seeker sensitive thing, in part because it was something that was meant to be attractional, but we shifted to all attractional versus, okay, I got you in and now let me create a funnel, you know, to get you to a place where you are a disciple who's making disciples. You're not really a disciple until you're making other disciples. You weren't just saved from something. You were saved for something. You weren't just practicing Ephesians 2:8-9. We moved you on to Ephesians 2:10, where you became God's, you understood that you're God's workmanship, and we made sure that you had a clear next step. So that's where it is calling on the hearts of people. It's not just saying, every member in ministry. Well, church has been doing that for 50 years and it doesn't change squat.
Yes.
Unless you have a heart change, unless you understand there's a transformation that has to take place. And not just in the heart of that individual, but in the heart of the staff to put those people into ministry and give real ministry away. Mm-hmm. Be willing to say, we're going to do more than let you pass out books, bulletins and you know, take care of kids. We're going to give you all the layers of ministry in between, and we are going to focus on equipping.
Yeah, and I think that piece there is, I think, the hardest for so many church leaders to give away, which is, you know, we love, it's like in so many churches, there's this giant gap between you can show up and hand out programs on a Sunday, or you can be an elder over the entire thing. And, you know, the question is, what is that middle ground and how do we give out pieces of the ministry to other people and how do we help, you know, folks take aspects of the ministry and run with it, which I think causes a lot of problems, which ultimately I think is a training issue. It's how are we moving people down the pipeline? How are we helping them up the pipeline? What does that look like? Now, there's a tool that you guys have at Lifeway Leadership that I want to talk a little bit about and how it helps churches with that issue, which is Ministry Grid. How does Ministry Grid fit into this whole idea of developing leaders?
Well, you know, I would say leadership development is poetry and plumbing. It's vision that inspires. It's that stirring of the heart, but it's also being able to deliver on that dream. And that is the plumbing. That's the systems and processes piece. So we spent years not only developing the technology, but more importantly, the framework and content that goes with that. So if you want to talk about core competencies that all your volunteers need, all your leaders need, all the coaches and directors of ministry, there's specific content for each of those levels, but then there's also training pathways for individual roles. So yes, this person is a leader over small group, and this person is a leader over your 930 ushers. They both need to know how to handle conflict. That's a core competency, universal to everyone that's in our leadership position. But of course, they have different role-based competencies that they need to have. So in both cases, like when I'm talking about systematic scope and sequence, I smoke what I sell, brother, because every area of ministry's got a specific training pathway for volunteers, a specific pathway for leadership, and a specific pathway for directors of ministry. But at the end of the day, I don't want people to see that as a silver bullet or, hey, this is a bunch of videos. No, it's not a bunch of videos. There's video enhanced, but there's plenty of other things that are there as well. And it's important to understand that transformation happens in someone's life with an overlap of knowledge, experience, and coaching. You cannot digitize that. It occurs in the context of a relationship. So you need, you know, training guides that go along with that training and someone to process and have feedback with in order for that to happen. Otherwise, you go back to the old school transactional view of training. Somebody shows up and there's a transfer of knowledge. And a transfer of information is not transformation. It's just that. It's a transfer of knowledge. And it's, you know, it's dumping at best. It's delegating at best. But it's not development. And so we just wanted to create a tool to come alongside churches to say, hey, here's the structure and strategy and all the things that really can help you carry the weight, the burden. Like, use the structure to take some of the weight off of you and off of your shoulders and do what you do best, which is getting in the life of that individual person and helping them develop into who God's created them to be, and then multiply themselves there. That's the key. But yeah, it's a great tool, but it's only a tool, and it's not a silver bullet. So whether you use our tool or not, we would still say, you know, you really need to think about some of these elements that I've talked about with pipeline.
Yeah, the thing I love about you know, kind of the pipeline work that Leadership Network that Lifeway Leadership is doing is, you know, really, I think, pushing churches to think in a new way and to then take steps towards that. It's a framework to really think differently about how we train leaders. And then I love that Ministry Grid fits into that. It kind of then actions that. It says, here are, you know, a way for you to develop pathways in multiple areas of your church. And you know, it's the cool thing about your tool is you can go in and actually see a lot without signing up. You get a sense of exactly the kind of training that's there. But it's more than just, like you say, it's not just a pile of videos. It's not just like, oh, here's 3,000 videos, which is like, I don't know who's going to watch 3,000 videos. But what you can do is say, I want to look at a particular ministry area and say, let's look through what does, you know, middle school ministry, where should we be taking people? What does that look like? And then you could customize that, right? And you're seeing churches that are saying, hey, how do I take what you're doing with Ministry Grid and then adding kind of our flavor to it? How does that work? And how are you seeing that, you know, being effective with the churches that are actually using your platform?
So this go around on Ministry Grid versus last go around. So Ministry Grid is actually like 4 years old in a couple of weeks. The first go around, we went to the hilt with customization, because everybody said they wanted customization. We put that way up front. The problem with that was, even though people say they want customization, when it all came down to it, they really were like, well, I'd rather just use your stuff.
Right.
So what we did this time around is we still have plenty of customization, but we didn't put all that administrative heft up front to confuse, you know, the person that was using it. The big thing that I would say here, a lot of churches, even larger churches, will basically do a welcome or intro video into, hey, here's, you know, preschool for volunteers. People matter to God and us at, you know, Clearview Christian Church. And that's why X, Y, Z. I mean, you know, it's been used in that way. Then a lot of people just use it in ways you'd never think of. Like somebody was using it for their new members class that listened to the podcast, and he called in and was, and so I called him back immediately. And I was like, dude, you can't use this for your new members class. Don't you understand? He's like, no, you don't understand. They watch that. And then they all meet with couples, like every single one of them. I pay for the meal for them to take that new, that potential new member out to lunch and process what they learned. And I'm like, you're right. People use it even though, and then there's other, there's, you know, larger nonprofits, that use it, that do a white label version of it, and they're primarily interested in the LMS itself, in the learning management system itself, because they're going to load it with all their own content primarily, and then use us somewhat.
Yeah,
but it's a really robust tool. But at the end of the day, what I want you to hear is do not make a bunch of spiritual travel agents who just dispense information. We need tour guides. We need people that know the journey, that have been on it before and can walk people through and show them. It's modeling the way, and modeling takes more time.
Yep.
But it's 10 times more effective. And when you look back over, you know, the last 3 years, it's going to have a way better result than the transactional, you know, travel agent way of doing things.
Hey, Todd, I appreciate that. It's kind of a question from out in left field. What, when you think about the future of leadership development in the church, you know, what are you thinking about where this is headed? What's kind of up on the horizon? Questions that you're wondering about, hey, how churches could be developing leaders in the future? And you know, are there things that we should be wrestling with even, again, more in the developmental down the roadway?
I mean, I really don't think that it's changed a lot in the last 2000 years, because it's really, you know, it's really 2 Timothy 2:2 just contextualized in today. Like, you need to be able to introduce, I, Paul, need to be investing in Timothy, who's investing in people who will invest in other people who will go and do likewise. Mm-hmm. But it has to be modeled, it has to be intentional. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the problem is we have practiced leadership placement in our churches. Mm-hmm. We have bought, especially the larger the church, they have a tendency to buy leaders rather than build them. Mm-hmm. And that cut flower culture of taking a leader who is, you know, gifted and talented and, wow, this is a beautiful leader, I'm going to take them and put them over here somewhere else in this ministry, or I'm going to take them from this church and put them in that church. It's not healthy and it's not sustainable. And I think that we're in big, big trouble if we can't get back to some basics of face time and making sure that people have a plan in place for them to be developed. Because people used to come to our churches 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Now they come 2 or 3 times a month if we're lucky. Mm-hmm. So when we have them there, what are we doing with them? When they're in their groups, what are we doing with them? How are we peeling them off into one-on-one and what triads or whatever methodology you want to use that helps them develop? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be harder and harder as we become a society that is more and more self-focused. Mm-hmm. Algorithms right now are killing us, because even politically, if you look at the political game right now, what's happening is you are only shown 2 things. Either what you really agree with or what will tick you off so bad that you're going to click that link as well. That's the only 2 things that you're doing. So advertising is ruining us. And algorithms are ruining us because it's a giant echo chamber and we're becoming more and more self-focused and self-absorbed. And that's something that is really, we're trying to become our, it's what's been happening since Adam and Eve. We're trying to become our own God.
Right.
And technology is allowing us to do that more and more. And so it is opening ourselves up to other people as leaders. The higher we go, the more tempted we are to close ourselves off. We have to ask for feedback and make sure we're getting good feedback and not just yes people around us. Mm-hmm. But it's everybody understanding that we will not grow into mature Christians apart from using our gifts and service to Christ to serve others in the body and serve in our communities. We will never, as a church, complete the mission that God has for us in our local community unless all those members of the body are engaged. And it's not just about what happens on Sunday and covering all this of, I have to take care of kids and have people do this and that and the other. That's the basics. That's us taking care of each other as a family. That's not Ephesians 2:10, God's workmanship. That's just us taking care of each other as a family. We think that's the end all. We give people shape classes and then tell them they're supposed to be a group leader or work in the kids ministry. Awesome. Yes. But there's more for them. And if we get those things covered, then we can actually release the people into the community. We have to get serious about building an army, not just an audience.
Very cool. Well, Todd, I appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with Lifeway Leadership or Ministry Grid, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is probably social. So if you hit the, if you hit my Twitter feed or you hit Lifeway Leadership's Twitter feed, that's good. Or you can just help anybody on our team, like todd.adkins@lifeway.com or andy.dukes@lifeway.com, especially in regard to Grid. If you want, you know, a personal demo or something like that, that'd be a great place to
check out. Good stuff. Appreciate you being on the show today. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.